to Perichov Tess. We are up to Perichov Tess, towards the middle of the Perik, Pasik Tez Zayin. Perik Chav Tess, Pasik Tez Zayin. Bervois Risham Yirbe Poshavit Sadikim Bima Polosam Yiru. When Rishoyim increase, this means one of two things. Either they increase in number or they increase in stature and they achieve positions of power. Yirbe Pasha, that increases sin. Sin increases in the world. Vitzadikim b'mapolosam yiru. Similarly, this means that the tzadikim, the day will come, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He runs the world, the day will come when the tzadikim will witness their defeat, their downfall. Let's look at the Metzudos David, Pasuk Tez Zayin. Bervos eis gadlei harashohim. At the time when the wicked people, they increase, they become great. Ba'am, among the people. When the rishom, their stature is elevated among the people. Yisrabo haposha, sin increases. Ki ta'avosam ala pesha, because that's their sole desire. The rishom, they have nothing, they want nothing more than to do sin. Ve'at tzadikim shloi ochazu b'pesha, but tzadikim that have not taken all the pesha, yirbim mipamalosam, they will one day witness their defeat, their full downfall. Ve'yismuchu ala sherlo nimshu achareihem. Mitzvah says something very interesting. Mitzvah says, that's, what's the simcha? The simcha is not the downfall. The simcha is that I was not part of this. That I am not, that's a very interesting idea. That's not the obvious, that's not the simple translation. They'll rejoice. Yeru, he's adding some words. V'yismuchu, he's adding the word simcha. It doesn't even say the word simcha in the past. The past just says, yiru, they will see, and the mitzudos adds. It doesn't say this in the pasuk. Yiru, bimapolasam, v'yismuchu, they will then rejoice, ala shalom nimshu achrim, that they did not participate.
But there are others
do not rejoice in the follow vech al tismach. Yeah, but that's in a situation. But that's in a situation where your enemy. That's the enemy, one who has done harm to you. In this pasuk, the rishon have not necessarily done harm directly to you. They're doing harm to society. It's an indirect harm. So when the rishon ceases to exist, see, you're not gloating over someone else's downfall. I don't know why is this. Yeah, I don't. I don't know. V'yismichu al asher nimshu achareim. Okay, there is no Rashi. There's one thing which caught my attention in the art scroll Mishlei, in the name of Rav Sad Yigon. Rav Sad Yigon is something which is very interesting, which is not very simple. It's not a statement. It's a directive. The pasuk here is giving instructions to the tzaddikim. When tzaddikim witness the rishoyim increase in number and stature, don't let them get away with it. V'tzadikim, it's a directive. V'tzadikim b'mapolosam yiru. See to it. Make sure that the rishaim, they have their downfall. Okay, that's easier said than done. Obviously. Okay, but that's a very interesting idea. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Yitzayin Yaser Bincha Vi Nichecha. This is probably one of the most important pasuk in the entire Mishlei. At least according to the art scroll, the footnote in the art scroll. Yaser Bincha, give Musa to your children. Vi Nichecha, and you will receive Nachas. And you will receive satisfaction. The Yitain and the children that you give Musar, they will give Ma'adanim Lenafsh Shecha, will give pleasure, delight to your neshama. Let's first see the Mitzvah Pasuk Yitzayin. We had this theme many times. Here it says, Vini Checha, Yitain Lecha Menucha. They will give you Menucha, Velo Tirgaz Bavuroi, and you will not. Tirgaz, you will not worry, you will not be afraid because of the children. You will rejoice in their deeds. Okay, the pasuk seemingly is just repeating the expression twice that if a person will train, will guide and direct his children in the proper way, he will have nachas and he will have delights. His neshama will have delights. Rashi, pasuk, there is no Rashi in this pasuk either. Now, the art school says that we all have this expression. We give one of the most popular brachos. One gives his friend is you should have nachas from your children. Nachas, right? So where does that come from in Tanakh? Who invented that expression? May you have nachas from your children. So it comes from this pasuk. This is the only place in the entire Tanakh where the word nachas is used in reference to children. The only place. What? Yisa Hashem panav elecha v'yas v'chunecha, that's chayin. But even if you find another pasuk in the Tanakh where it says the word nachas, which means satisfaction, nachas ruach, it does not say it in reference to children. It says in reference, we had it in the Mishnah a couple of times. If you'll do something good, you'll be a tzaddik, you'll do a mitzvah, you'll ultimately have satisfaction. But where does this common expression, this common bracha, may you have nachas from your children, come from? No, it's not the same. Not the same. Menucha, eating lechom. So then it is not nachas. Okay, maybe it is the same thing. It is the same thing. Menucha below tirgas, but it's related. The words are not related. Here it's vinichecho. No, there's no dot. I don't have a dot. Yeah, you have a dot? Okay, I don't have a dot. You have a dot? Okay. Okay, I'm sorry. My edition is not that accurate. I don't have also. Here is okay. V-ni-cheko. The child will give you nachas, satisfaction. V-tin ma'adanim l'avshecha will also give your neshama delicacy, the delights. Okay, so that's one a very interesting point. This is the Mekor. Now, look, all the Nusachat, many of the commentators mention this often when you study the Nusachat Tefillah. Every single chelik in the Shemoneh Esrei, it's taken from a pasuk. It's very, it was composed, of course, by the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, but it was drawn from their expertise in Tanakh. And for that matter, many of the brachos that we give each other, things that we do, also are rooted in Tanakh, and here is a prime example. He goes through, and he shows. Yeah, but not everything. He shows where it comes from. But there are things. Even the Avodah Zarah leaves. There's certain things out. Rav Chaim Kanievsky is an incredible baki in Tanakh. It's just unreal. His Bikias, he wrote Sfarim, they contrast him. And one of the things that he's very popular for doing is showing an expression in Tefillah where it's rooted in Tanakh. A place that you would never imagine. You never dream. Wow. And you look at the pasuk, and you look at the mafarsh, and you right away see that it was pulled out of the pasuk into an expression to be part of tefillah. Here is the bracha in that matter. Okay, now there are a number of midrashim on this pasuk and mafarshim. The basic idea is that children not only help a parent in this world, they help a parent in the next world. It is common to think people say that after a parent passes, so when you do a mitzvah, you send them a peklach. In this world, the parents give the children peklach, and when it gets older, when the parents go to the next world, then the children give the parents peklach. They give them peklach in the form of mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim, and they derive nachas in the next world. So that's really what it says over here: the ma'adanim lenafsh shecha. If a person will raise good children, if a parent will succeed in giving mussar to his children, shalom aleichem, when he's young, and guarding him in the right derech, then when he gets older, he'll give the parents nachas in this world. And the second expression, which the Mitzudas doesn't mention, the Mitzudas just says this poetic repetition, but the deeper meaning according to the Medrash is that madanim l'nafshecha means in the next world, the parents will receive bonuses.
This goes back to the previous passage, this Gemara, that the Mois Rishon, that it's good, it's bad for the Rasha, but it's good for the people. So that's the passage saying, the Mois Rishon, Yarbe Pesha, so the Tzaddikim are happy when they die. And when you teach your son to have Nachas, he will give Madanim and Nafshecha, he will give a Tzaddikim when he dies, which is that.
The theme is death. When we look at death, and then everything takes on a different perspective. Okay, Nachlami. Okay, that's one mahalach. Now another mahalach, another interpretation I came across is both parts of the pasuk are referring to a person's neshama after death. A person leaves this world, and a person chas v'shalom may be required to go to Gehenna. may be required to go to Gehenna. So it says here that if a person is in Gehenna, and then the child does something good, the child does a mitzvah, the child does Ma'asim Tovim, and they embezzled and analyze where did the child learn to do a good deed. Oh, the parents taught him. So the beginning, V'nicheka, means they allow you to rest from the fires of Gehenna. But just because you rest, you're taken out, you have to sit in the waiting room. And the waiting room is not very comfortable either. But if the child does more mitzvahs, then v'yitein ma'adanim l'nafshecha, bonuses to enter into Gan Eden. In other words, we one ever came back to tell us what's going on there. But we sort of look at the Olam HaEmes as black and white. It's either you're in Gehenna or you're in Gan Eden. That's not so. There are three chambers. There is Gehenna, and there's Gan Eden, and then there's a waiting room. There's not here and not there. You're not here and not there. So here it says that if Chas V'Shalom person finds himself in Gehenna, the child has the ability to give rest. Rest means rest from the fires of Gehenna. But that does not necessarily mean the person will be allowed to enter into Gan Eden. He may have to just sit it out in the waiting room. If the child does good deeds, it'll give ma'adanim, delicacies l'nafshecha, even to go to Gan Eden, special delight. So you have a whole bera mezakeh l'ab in chanami. But this is much more poetic. So sacha kol, you have here really three mahalchim in this pasuk. Either both, according to the mitzvot, the similar limitations, both sections refer to oilam hazeh. Some commentators learn that the first part is Olam Hazeh, and the second part is Olam Haba, and the third Mahalach is everything refers to Olam Haba. Don't expect in this world for it to be easy. Everything refers to the next world, what a child can do, for a parent in Olam Haba. Now, of course, when we talk about Nachas, we mentioned in this passage, the Makar for the Bracha giving Nachas, I'm sure you all know that. There's also an expression that you say, Yishav Yiddish Nachas. Why do you say Yiddish Nachas? Because Esav had a grandson whose name was Nachas. Aluf Nachas. So therefore, Esav also had Nachas. So you don't want that kind of Nachas. You want Yiddish Nachas. I'm sure you all heard that at some point in time. Alright, let's go to Pasuk. Pasuk Yud Ches. Pasuk Yud Ches. Be'ein Chazon Yipora Om. The Shomer Torah Ashreihu. This Pasuk is probably Mr. Gladder's favorite pasuk. This pasuk is probably a nice makor for Das Torah. Your favorite topic, Das Torah. This pasuk, everyone talks about Das Torah. All the mafarshim when they discuss this pasuk. First, what?
We're getting a guest lecture on Das Torah.
We're getting a guest lecture on. Okay, Chazoin. What is Chazoin? Chazoin simply means prophecy. According to most commentators, Chazon is a prophet, a vision. The Ein Chazon Yipara Om. When there are no prophets, when the prophets cease to exist, then Yipara Om, people become loose. Loose meaning that the ish hayosha be'einav yase. Everyone does whatever they want. Look, when Moshe came down from the mountain, he saw the people were dancing. Kishama ha'am ki faruahu. Moshe heard the sound, or he heard. Vayar se l'mukhalos. And what does it then say?
Later on it says, Vayar Moshe sa'am ki faruahu.
But it says the word ki faruahu.
Ki faruahu l'shim sa'am.
They were farua. What does it mean, farua? Parua means they loosen their limitations, their restrictions. They release their restrictions. Torah, unrestricted. Paro comes from the Shurish Peirai Parua. Paro, the essence of Egypt, is the Erva Saretz. Everything goes. There are no restrictions. You can do whatever you want. Paro was the leader of the free world. The free world is not necessarily the good world. The free world in a religious society, they don't have freedom. There are restrictions.
Lazy fare.
What? business laissez-faire. That's a policy, but yeah, there's the rules and regulations. So when there are no restrictions, we have the word furua. So when, what is the purpose of a prophet? The prophets, their role is musar. Their role is to rein the people in, to impose upon them restrictions. When there are no prophets, then you pour on, and that leads to sin. What's the solution? The solution is to bring back the prophets, but there are no prophets. We're not ready for prophecy. V'shomer Torah ashrehu. Now, Ashreu can mean simply mean happiness. Someone who guards the Torah is a happy person. Or it can mean to take steps. The word Ashurenu means footsteps, and in this context it means to lead. It means people who guard the Torah, they are the replacements, people who are observant, they are Shomer Torah, they can be the replacements for the prophets. In other words, what is the purpose of a prophet? He's telling you what to do. You have a dilemma, you do not know what to do, there's a decision to be made, and it's not clear, it does not say in the Torah what to do. Should we go to battle, should we not go to battle? Should we make peace, should we not make peace? We have major dilemmas that go on every single day, and nowhere in Shulchan Aruch does it say what to do. And you'll ask three people, you'll ask two people, and you'll have three opinions on what to do. So who's going to tell you what to? So no one knows. So if we really had prophets, a Navi is in contact with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, will give us the proper guidance. If we don't have prophets, so then here's this very delicate and dangerous topic, is Das Torah. This is an explosive topic, which I know nothing about, but this is what the concept is, that when you have a dilemma, a person who's heavily steeped, lives and breathes Torah 24/7, not that you're involved in business half the day, and the other half the day you're involved in telling people what. The real thing, if you can find the real thing today, it's not so simple to find the real thing, if there's such a real thing, is they live and breathe Torah, they are granted the siyat, the shmaya, to serve in the form of a prophet, of a chazoin, and ashurehu, they can lead, they can guide us in making decisions that would otherwise be assigned to a prophet. And the truth is, the Gemara says, chacham odif minavi. A Navi, on one hand, the Gemara says a Navi has milus and a Chacham has milus. But the Gemara says a Chacham is even wiser. We learn from Daniel. We learn from I forgot the details, but the Chomorah says that in some respects a wise man is even greater than a prophet.
He's talking to an individual. He's not talking to the
seer. He's talking to one.
It will save the guy. If you live in a
Ashurehu means to lead, Ashurehu to serve as leader. So it can be interpreted in different ways. I don't know the details. Let's
is a Lashon Yachid.
Right.
First they're talking about
We'll lead him, we'll lead himself, not for the people.
No,
we'll lead the
arm. Trouble because there's a lack of Musa. Because his Torah is mugging on him.
No, that's a different idea. That's a whole different idea. That's not what it's saying. That's a different idea.
What it's saying is that if you go and you attach yourself to a Talmud Chacham.
It doesn't say to attach. The Shomer Torah, a person who is a guardian of the Torah, a true guardian of the Torah, Shomer Torah, Ashurehu will lead him.
Right, and the beginning of the passage says
the people. So, and who is the leader of the Navi? Who is the one that gives guidance and dilemmas to the Navi? But let's say there is no Navi.
So then every man for himself. And Torah will protect you.
Okay, that may be one interpretation. Subject to interpretation. Let's see the Mitzudos. The Mitzudos doesn't even learn Ashurehu means to lead. It means be happy. Different interpretations. Yeah. So let's say, okay. There are different, but it also means the steps. V'lo mo'adu Ashurai. My footsteps did not falter. V'lo mo'adu Ashurai. The word Ashurai, this Sharish also refers to taking footsteps. Footsteps meaning taking a derech, a direction, a mahalich, a path in life. Okay, let's see what it says over here in the Mitzudos.
Can we say that if everybody shomer Torah, they are going to be a good nation?
Ashurehu.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see what it says in the Mitzudos. Let's see. Pasuk Yitches Mitzudos. Okay. So let's see what it says in the Mitzudos. Pasuk Yitches Be'ein Chazon Be'ein Nevuah. When there is no Nevuah, Yivutul Ha'am Mikinyan HaMusar. The role of the Neviim is Musar. Someone once told me that today we learn Musar from this. We learn Mitzudos Yesharim, Chavis Halavavas,
and a whole long list Derech Hashem, a whole long list of Shari Tshuva, of Musa Svarim. But this person was very upset. He's saying the real Musar, he felt people should be spending time learning Nevi'im, Nevi'im Achrayim, to learn Yeshaya. Because all the Musar, the real heavy duty Musar, is all in the Nevi'im. And in fact, all the Musa Svarim are quoting right and left from the Nevi'im. So why are you devoting most of your time? If you only have a limited amount of time to learn Musar, you should devote it to learning Yeshaya, to Yirmiyah, Yecheskel, because this is the source.
You don't know Pshat.
No, you know Pshat. It's not so hard to learn Pshat. This is the real, the role, the primary role of a Navi was to give Musar. Not to tell you what's going to be in the future. The future, it's not necessarily important what's going to be in the future. The future can change on a whim. What's important is to know what to do now. And to know what to do now, it depends and you need a bit of Musar. And that's what it says, Sibayin Chazan Be'ein Nevuah, Yivutal Ha'am Mikinyan HaMusar. And the Mesudas really hits the nail on the head here. Aval Hashemar Esek HaTorah, but a person who guards the Esek HaTorah, Ashrei lo, the Mesudas translates Ashrei means happy to him. Ki hamor shebo machazir lumutav. The light of Torah also serves, is a different idea, serves a form of Musar. When you learn Shor, this is a concept which in the secular world they totally don't understand. And the only way you could understand this is by experiencing it. That when you learn Adaf, Baba Kama, Shor, Shlagach HaSapara, what does an ox goring a cow, a pregnant cow, have anything to do with the world? Have anything to do with the Ribbono Shel Olam? But yet there is so much Kedusha in a Daf Gemara, it magically, it's something which cannot be described in words, there's no rational understanding why there is a koach in the Kedusha of engaging in Milchanta Shel Torah that changes a person, it softens him up to become a Yoreh Shemayim. It's something which the person never experienced a Melus B'Torah has no understanding, and it's very critical of what's the purpose of learning Torah. But yet we know it's been proven that the Jewish continuity has survived only because of the study of Torah. There are many Mahalchim. What is the secret to survival? Is it Eretz Yisrael? Is it Mitzlos? What is the true secret? And again, there are different. Everyone has their own. Everyone has a different thing which appeals to them. But you cannot deny that a major contribution to the miraculous continuity of Klal Yisrael is only because of the study of Torah.
Is the converse true that during the time of the Nevi'im, study of Torah was not as critical?
It's a very big mystery. See, that question, the time of the Nevi'im, what degree of education was there? The average, that's for the average person. Of course, there must have been the Nevi'im. I mean, what do they have? They didn't have they had a Mesorah of Mishnayis, that Halacha. How today the typical education is to learn in the yeshiva world is you learn Gemara, you learn Tanakh.
Because they lost the understanding of the Mishnah.
Yeah.
So they didn't need it when they had it in the Nevi'im. They didn't have the problem.
But the Milchanta Shel Torah, it obviously it enhances a person's mental outlook on life, and that's a very big mystery. How did they study Torah in the time of the Nevi'im? What did they study? How did they study? Who studied? Was it only for a select group and the Hamoinam, the masses? They didn't.
Several places where it says in time Yecheska or whatever.
He knows al Pischa Shal Mesmerish and Kol, there was Natinek Vitinoiket Shlohi Bikim. So what does that mean exactly? So what they didn't have art scroll or Mishnayis, and they didn't have anything even written. How do they study? I don't know, I have no clue. It always bothered me.
They would learn Chumash, yeah. From the Chumash they would come out with the Mishnah also.
Balpeh.
Yeah.
Okay. There's something that we're missing. Obviously,
the Ammonites are known to memorize
everything. Volumes, okay, so
yeah,
this is far into from to us. This whole idea, I don't know, someone like me, I have no clue what this is all about. Yeah.
He made up his own drush, and not only he said his own.
They say a story of the Chofetz Chaim. The Chofetz Chaim said that in his time, he witnessed personally Yiridas HaDoros. Chofetz Chaim died in 1933.
Yeah.
So in 1933, it wasn't I don't know, but it wasn't all that different than it is today. Obviously, they were in the Skanu Hadoros, but I think we can relate to the people in 1933, right? To some degree. To some degree, at least. So he said that when he, the Chofetz Chaim, now Chofetz Chaim at that point was already 90 years old, 95 years old, whatever he was. The Chofetz Chaim, that when he was a young bachur, he remembers the story where there was a shidduch proposed. A boy was proposed for a girl, and they said this to them, for a very choshev mishpach. A girl came from a bas talmud chacham, and they only wanted the best of the best. And then this boy is a mitzuyon. He finished shas. He knows kol ha'Torah kul by the time he was 13 years old. The boy must have now been 16, 17, got married very early, 16, 17 years old. He already knew kol ha'Torah kul by the time he was 13 years old. So they got engaged. They made the shidduch. And then it was discovered that it was a lie. The boy first knew kol ha'Torah kul when he was 14 years old. So the father of the girl said, no gedula. 14 years old, no kol ha'Torah kul, big deal. I only went to the sheikh because the boy was a mitzuyin, he was ahead of his time. He knew when he was already 13 years old. Okay, so we laugh at this. 13 years old. A person can be 90 years old, doesn't even know the aleph phase. We laugh at this. But it just goes to show, the Chofetz Chaim writes this. So it just goes to show that obviously, the Chofetz Chaim says that in his lifetime, he wrote, at the end of his life, you have it today, he says himself, at the end of his life, it's a joke. This is what I'm telling you now, you're laughing at. This is a joke. Call out to a cool 30, 40 years old, you can be 60, you don't even know the beginning, and the Daf Gemara can't get through. It's a joke. He said, but I saw this, the Chofetz Chaim says. I witnessed Yeridus Hadorois in my lifetime, a degree of learning that was normal. And things changed very rapidly in his lifetime. Yeah. He said it was. The Chofetz Chaim says that was normal. That's what he writes. That was normal. And when he was a young boy. So he did it in the beginning of the 19th century.
Yeshivas were tiny.
You're right. So I don't know how. You're asking good. I don't know. The yeshivas didn't even exist. What kind of yeshivas? The yeshivas were for the elite. Not even a tenth. A fraction, no, even a 1%.
It was a different.
All right. I don't know the answer, but.
Simcha said that his friends used to laugh at him because he was 7 and a half when he started Gemara, while his friends were 7.
Half, 6 months, the difference. All right, to each his own. Okay, so here it says the Shomer Torah. So this is what the Mitzvah is. The Mitzvah says this idea. It's a very powerful idea. It's a very powerful idea that learning Torah, when a person learns Torah, that itself, even learning a Daf Gemara, Shor, Shnei Chasapara, has an impact upon a person that is equivalent to hearing sharp words of Musar from a Navi. It's a very difficult thing to grasp. But it definitely was a mahalach that I think the briskers were very much into this. They didn't learn Musar. They felt that learning being Amel B'Torah is the greatest Musar. It accomplishes the equivalent of delving into Mesilas Yesharim, knowing Yeshayi inside out. You can get the same effect by attaching yourself to Amelus B'Torah. It's not for everyone, obviously. It doesn't work for everyone. Some people, it doesn't go. You need everyone has a different mahalach. But there are.
It was the fight in the yeshiva world when the Muslim movement came out.
You don't need the Muslim, exactly. Rav Shaul Slavin, the people who object to Rav Shaul Slavin's malach was, we don't need it. You don't need Muslim. You can accomplish the same thing through Amelus B'Torah. But Rav Shaul Slavin obviously disagreed strongly. Niskatnu Hadoros, and people are not going to get the same thing. They need to devote time just for the learning of Muslim. But there is still truth, even though we are not on a madrega. We can avoid Musar, but there is still truth. You have to acknowledge there is truth to this idea, and according to the Mitzvah, this is exactly what the Pasuk is saying. The Chazoin is the Navi. The Navi's role is Musar, not just telling you what the future is going to bring. Yipara Am, without Musar, the people can become loose, unrestricted, and the solution to Musar is learn a Daf Gemara. Shomer Torah Ashurehu, it will make him happy, it will restore his frame of mind that only can come through Musar. Again, that's not only one interpretation. Other Farshim learn, no, we're not dealing over here, we're learning Musar. We're learning over here with leadership. Leadership is Ashurei, who means, meaning to lead him, to make, to take, to guide his footsteps. My steps were not, did not falter. That through the study of Torah, a person will have the right thought, what decision to make in a question that cannot be found in halacha. Through the koyach, the siyat, the shema you have in learning. Yeah.
Pesach said, with Elazhu, you had one shtender with Rabbi Zalman Balzer.
Yeah.
The next shtender was Yud Lamed Peretz, the writer.
Uh-huh. Okay, it's a complicated world. It was a complicated world. The Mahaskalah, the Haskalah was very powerful. Extremely okay. Let's see the Rashi, Pasuk Yud Ches and Rashi. In Chazon Yiparam, Kishagor Min Yisrael, Shanuvua Mistalek Es Mehem. Okay, he's saying that when Chazon disappears, meaning when Klal Yisrael sins, and through their sins, the leaders are no longer worthy. The leaders are only as great as the people. The leaders are only as great as the Hamoinam. If we don't have people that deserve important leaders, Hashem does not give us these leaders. So when the people sin, Hashem takes away the prophets. Al yidei shechem mal'ivim b'nevim. They insult, they harass, they mock the Nevi'im. We find that all the Nevi'im were harassed. Yirmiyah was tortured. He was tied up and thrown into a dungeon. They plucked the hair off his beard. They tortured him. So you don't want the Nevi'im, Hashem takes away the Nevi'im. Then yifetzu boy bump Pirtzos, breaches are made in Klal Yisrael, v'yoytzim l'tar b'sra. And the solution is to be a Shomer Torah, Ashureyu. The Shomer Torah makes a person happy, it brings a person, back to, when a person is unrestricted, according to the Pasuk, you learn Derech Agav, when a person does not have restrictions, he is not happy. People think that if you have freedom, you're happy. That's not necessarily true. Too much freedom does not bring happiness. It brings depression.
Yeah.
You have to have a proper balanced diet. And a balanced diet means restrictions. And when there are restrictions, the pasuk is very clear. The opposite of yipora is ashurehu. So that means that happiness simply means ashure means happiness. Happiness is the opposite of unrestriction of being unrestricted, which implies that when there are restrictions, then a person does have a degree of happiness. Okay, let's go. Now, other commentators do not interpret the word chozoin as a reference to a prophecy, but rather chozon means a clear
vision.
It means a clarity. Clarity in your derech in life. When a person does not know what to do in life, not talking about problems, not talking about sin, we're just talking about a person in general. A person has a lot of dilemmas. The ein chazon. I don't know what to do. I have to make a decision today. Should I move? Should I not move? I have a child. Should I enroll in people going out of their minds, enrolling children, their children in school? Which school should I put them in? Should I put them in this school, that school? People go out of their mind. What should I do? Be'ein chozoin yipora on people, they go crazy. Yipora means they lose it. They become loosened. Their mind is unsettled. They lose it.
Yeah. In the secular world too, without a vision, a nation gets...
The nation falls apart. You have no leadership, no direction, no leadership. Right.
The leadership does not have a vision.
Have a vision. There's no vision of what... Exactly. That's talk about the elections. What's your vision? That's the most important thing. What do you want to accomplish? You have a goal. If you don't have a goal, then you just grope in the darkness. So what's the solution? The solution is v'shoymer Torah Ashrei. The person who is a guardian of Torah, Torah gives you goals. Torah tells you what your goal should be. There are many goals in the Torah. What a person's role is to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to do mitzvos better, to observe to the Yom Tovim, to accomplish in life according to the Torah. That will give a person a goal in life to make him a happy camper. Okay, now just one thing I left out, very important. I left the Pasuk Gitzayin. It's very important. Halacha Medesh. I left out the Pasuk Gitzayin. Yaser Bincham, going back to Pasuk Vinichecha. V'yitein ma'adanim l'nafshech. According to the Medesh, this Pasuk is telling us that a person has to hit or to chastise even a child that has done absolutely nothing wrong.
Really?
shocking. It says this in the Medrash, and we learned this. We learned this from Avshalom. How could it be that Avshalom, Chazal say this, Avshalom, he rebelled against his father David. He wanted to kill his own father. Avshalom, because Avshalom was such a good child. He never did anything wrong. And there was no reason for David ever to say a bad word. And we learn from that experience and from this, the repetition that Shlomo says this multiple times, because the reason why we, because back a few psukim before, we had exactly the same thing. Let me see, where was the pasuk? Pasuk Dalit. No. We had the requirement to give mussar to children. Where is it? Mel Shoifet? Pasuk Tezvav was two psukim back. Shevet v'sayichachas yitein chokhma, through the stick and through mussar does one increase chokhma. V'nar mishulach mevish, nar, that's mishulach, you send away, you don't give mussar, he is mevish, he becomes ashamed to his mother. So why is the pasuk Yitzayin repeating the same theme a second time? So the Medrash says, the repetition is telling you that the first pasuk Tezvav is talking about a bad child, a child that deserves to be hit. He deserves the mussar. So him, give it to him. Let him get what he deserves. Mimele, you'll have the benefit that you'll straighten him out. But what about the child that never did anything wrong? So him, you have to scream at. He doesn't deserve to be screamed at. Guess what? Shocking thing. Yaseh bincha v'nicheka. You have to hit him also. Now, obviously, today, child psychologists, I don't know how this is going to go over well in today's complicated world of child psychology.
Later.
How this works out. Okay, it's child abuse, and it's not fair. And obviously, you'll... The child will have baggage the rest of his life and say, obviously it has to be taken with a grain of salt. Okay, it has to obviously be understood in the proper context, but I think we all can understand what this means to some degree. That a child, even a good child, has to understand that there is punishment, that there's no free lunch in this world. Okay, that's a very scary idea. Okay, let's now go to Pasuk Yud Tes. Pasuk Tes B'dvarim Lo Yivoser Oved Ki Yovin V'ein Maneh. Words alone will not Yivoser chastise the slave, even though he understands. Ki Yovin, just because you tell him something, he understands. V'ein Maneh, he's not going to humble himself. Maneh has multiple interpretations. He's not going to... How do they translate? Let's see the Mitzvah stuff, how he translates the word Maneh. Mitzvah David, Bidvar, Ratzalayma.
With as much as he can. Talking to him doesn't do anything.
Talking is not going to do. You have to hit him. The slave must be hit. Ratzalayma, Bidvar, Mulavad, Lo, Yikabal, Musa. With words long, he's not going to become Musa. He alf, Mishayav, and Divriha, Musa. Even though he understands Musa, ain't Maneh. So Maneh, Chet, Befiv, Loimar, there's not going to be a response. According to the Mitzvah, this word Maneh means a response. He will not commit.
Oh, yeah.
He will not commit himself to refrain from doing harm. Okay, I hear what you're telling me. You're telling me that I shouldn't do it. Okay, I hear what you say, but don't tell me what to do. I'll do what I want to do. If you beat him up, then you'll torture him, waterboarding. Then, okay, I'll do what you say. Words alone will not, v'ein maneh, so the Mitzvah says there will not be a positive commitment on the part of the slave, just the words. You have to actually take a whip and beat him until he gets the message. Let's see Rashi Pasuk Yates. Ki yavin v'ein maneh, kevin sheroeyu shemoichichoy shayseik. What if you'll just speak to him, you'll speak to the slave and tell him, listen, when the slave sees that the moichiach, the one that's screaming, he stopped talking to me, v'hu choyzer umakalgo, and he'll go back to his old ways. Yeah, he screamed at me, told me not to do it. Okay, he'll let him tell me what he wants to tell me. I'll do what I want to do. He goes back to his old ways. The only way, in order to make an impression upon him, that he must, you have to go give him musul b'makos. You must chastise him with musul b'makos. And we're not discussing a slave. Over here, we're not discussing a slave only. We're discussing mamish. I'll call hamamrim divrei hashayftim. We're discussing any individual, any member of society that does not obey the law of the land. hand. The law of the Shoftim, there's a law. If you just go tell people nicely, follow the law, they're not going to listen. When it's punishment, oh, when you get a ticket, right? It's a whole different world when you tell people don't park, alternate side. Don't park. Let the sweepers come. Yeah, let them come. I'll do what I want. But when you give them a ticket, oh, that's a whole different story. Then you'll get your car out of the way very, very quickly. Okay. Now, there's just one medrash that it cites here in the Sefer. Where do we learn this from? What's the source? Where did Shlomo HaMelech learn this from? From Moshe. Hashem said to Moshe, I want you to go to Paro. But don't just go and talk to him. V'yashamate hazeh tikach v'yodecha. Take the stick with you. Take the stick. When you come in with a loaded weapon, it'll be a different conversation. It's not going to be the same thing. So this is what it says in this pasuk, that words alone is not going to do the job. Okay, let's go to pasuk chaf. Chazisa ish otz midvarov. Tikve lechasil menu. Have you seen a man who's rash, impetuous? Otz means impetuous, midvarov with his words. He jumps to quick decisions. He does not think things out, even though he's a wise man. This man can be a very wise man, but he's not careful. He's impetuous. Impulsive. Tikval l'chsil men, the fool, the one who has no seichel, no degrees, no, doesn't know from nothing, but at least he knows that he does not know, and he asks people to tell him what to do. He has a lot, there's a lot more hope for him than there is for the wise man that is impulsive. If you see a person that's swift in his ways, da, you should know. Asher yesh l'chsil tikval l'hatzliach b'inyanov. That the seal has, there's more hope to him to be successful in his ways, more mimenu ki yasei biyushuf hadas. Whatever he'll do. This is very true. There's a lot of they say this a lot of politicians, a lot of presidents. There's some presidents in the United States like Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter he's a brilliant person. You can't deny that. He micromanaged his presidency. Every little detail. He has to put the batteries inside the tape recorder. Every little detail. When you micromanage, you know, he only had one presidency, only one term, it didn't last. And then there was some, I don't want to say names, but there were some presidents that were not necessarily the brightest. But their koyach was, they delegated. They delegated everything. They did almost the bare minimum. They had yichus, and they had advisors. Somehow they got into the president. They became the president. But they very clearly knew. Bush W, the second Bush. His derech in the presidency was delegate. He very more often than not he says, I really don't know. I don't know from nothing. I have no expertise in this. I used to run a baseball team. What do I know about running a country? We have a Dick Cheney. Let him make all the decisions. We'll have a...
They just did a whole series of pieces about it. That was the difference.
Yeah. Jimmy Carter. Yeah. Okay, Obama. But Jimmy Carter, and they. I read a fascinating article, the contrast between Jimmy Carter and Bush W. Is Jimmy Carter was obsessive, micromanaged. He stayed up nights. He didn't go to sleep. He said everything he had to do, every little thing. You can't pass, one person can't possibly run a country. 300 million people. It's not possible. You got to delegate. And that leads to failure. Bush, he, everything was, I don't know, you get the best people, and you tell me, what is your opinion, what do you think, I trust you, you have all the experience. They say that you're the wise, the brightest, what?
Trust.
Well, you have to know who to trust, you know, you can present you with a...
Carter or Obama trust no one.
They got problems. Okay, so this is exactly what it says in this pasuk. What it says in this pasuk is, we have an ish that's otz bedvarav, watch out. watch out, this person is on a path of disaster. Tikvah l'chsev men, to take a person who doesn't know from nothing, but at least knows that he doesn't know anything. Tachlis, the Rambam says, tachlis haidia leida, the tachlis of knowledge is to know shelo yeda, that you don't know from nothing. The more you know, the more you realize how much you don't know. And a person who has that attitude is a good person, is a person that there's a lot of hope for. Okay, let's see the Rashi. The Rashi pasuk was first in Mitzudos. First in Mitzudos pasuk Chof Chazisa. No, we did. We did that. Rashi. Rashi pasuk Chof Etz Bedvarov. Nemaher v'nivhal l'hashiv. He is quick. V'nivhal impulsive l'hashiv to respond. Tikva l'ksil mimenu yesh l'ksil. Tikva yesh mimenu. There's more open l'ksil. Okay. Let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Chof Aleph. Mefanek minoyar avdoi. Yachariso yiyeh monoin. A lot of interpretations on this pasuk. First, we begin with a person as mefanek means he gives delicacies. Hamaanek. He gives pleasure. He's a person. Mefanek means a very delicate person. So he treats avdoi. We'll read the words out of order. He treats his slave minoyar from the time the slave is a child. From the very beginning of his relationship with his slave, he's mefanek. He spoils him rotten. Mefanek minoyar avdoi. If he spoils his slave from youth, what is the result of the achariso? The result is yihya monon. The slave will be his ruler. Eved yimloch. The slave will one day rule over the master. The slave will one day rise up and rebel. Rebel, and one day mono means a leader, a master. That's one interpretation. Let's see what it says in Mitzudos. Mefanek hamanek es avdo min arusoi, odo min aruso, odo lo nota shichmer lispel ol avdus. While he has not yet experienced the yoke of slavery, he has been spoiled. He may watch out. When you give too much freedom and too much rights to a person that does not know how to deal with this, he may bachris yamav yehusar v'shalit. The word manon here he's translating as a leader. Al ha'adon ki yigva libo, he will become arrogant. V'yachdel min ha'malacha, he will cease from doing labor. V'hu mutul al ha'adon los es lo dey mechsor, and he's the one that has the responsibility originally to provide the needs of his master. But instead of providing the needs of the master, he'll make the master provide his needs, so the tables will be turned. Manon here, according to the Mitzvot, means a leader. Look at the Mitzvot David. Manon sar v'shalit. Kamo lifnei shemesh, before the sun, yinon shmo melech ha-mashiach. He's called yinon. Yinon means a leader. Now why does the word, the word yinon comes from the word nin. Nin means a descendant. It means a grandson or a great-grandson. Nin v'nechet. So either it means a child, it depends on the context. Sometimes it can either mean a child, or it can mean a grandchild, or it can mean even a great-grandchild. Nin v'nechet. So the Mepharshim explain is the reason why we call them a nin, a manon, is because a descendant ultimately rules over your hard labor, all of your toil, the work you've exerted yourself in this world to acquire wealth will one day be passed down to your descendants, and they will rule over your labor. Darkai shel olam is a person passes after 120 years, and his descendants inherit his wealth. So they will one day rule over your wealth. So that's why the two words really go together. Okay, so this is the simple interpretation of the pasuk according to the mitzvot. Let's see Rashi. Rashi says Rashi is a little more midrashic. Mifanek minor avdo. Avdo here is the yetzer hara. Yetzer hara. Manon. Sfardik, you say hara. Manon shalit is a ruler. Rashi says the same thing as the mitzvah shalit. V'chein lifnei shemesh yinon shmo, exactly like what it says in the mitzvahs. V'chein chol nin v'shemekra shahanin kom. Rashi says that nin kom tachas of l'shal b'nechosav. A grandchild, a descendant, is someone who ultimately rules over the assets of his ancestors. Now there is a gemara in Masech, the sukkah.
Why Rashi goes with yetzer hara? Because
yeah. Ra minu urav, very good. Ra, so it's a connection. So according to Rashi, I left out the part. Rashi is saying up here that a person goes easy on his yetzahara. When his young, the yetzahara comes to a person when he's an infant. The Yetzer HaToiv, according to Chazal, first enters a person when he's bar mitzvah. The Yetzer HaRa gets a 13-year head start. And if a person goes too easy on the Yetzer HaRa, you let a child have whatever they want, you spoil the child rotten, so you're letting the Yetzer HaRa get his way, then it's going to result in the Yetzer HaRa, the end will be shalit over the person, whatever the Yetzer HaRa wants will be the rule, and that is, of course, is very dangerous. There's the Gemara Masechta Sukkah. The Gemara Masechta Sukkah says something very scary, that when a person does an Avera, that Avera basically creates a Malach, and that Avera itself will one day, Allah's love will come and testify against the person, you did this Avera. You're denying you did the Avera. I am the Avera. I have been created from your Avera, and I am here to testify, to say Edus, that you have sinned and you deserve punishment. How do we know such a Chazal? It comes, this we all taught this as a child. You do a mitzvah, you create a malach. You do an Avera, you create a malach. So what? You have a malach. The malach comes to testify. It comes from this pasuk, because the word manon is turned into the word sahada. Sada is an Aramaic word which means testimony. How in the world does one known turn into Sada? So the Gemara says there are multiple systems of gematrios, which means that you can interchange one letter with another. We're common with the system of the Atbash, where you interchange the first letter with the last letter. Aleph is just matched with Tav. Beis is matched with Shin. Gimel is matched with Resh. Dal is matched with Kof. We go from the beginning to the end. There's another system where we break the Aleph Beis into three parts. Three parts is Aleph through Tes, then all of the digits, then all the tens Yud through Tzadi, and then Kof, the first four letters Kof, Resh, Shin, Tov, and then the Mansapach. Then the Mansapach, which takes us all the way another six letters, another which gives a total of 10 letters. So we have basically
five letters. 900.
Five
and nine.
Five, nine letters. So we take three different sets. Aleph through Tes, Chof, Ayud through Tzadi, and then Kof through the end of the four letters, the last four letters, and the Man Sepach. What do we need? Three sets of letters. We then do the Atbash system in each set. We take the Aleph and we match it with the Tes, the Beis with the Ches, the Gimel with the Zion. In each set, you do the same thing in the middle set, and the same thing in the last. Now the problem is, when you do this, you can have three letters that the Hey has no match, and the Nun has no match. Hey has no match, and Nun, that's why Hein means one. Why does Hein mean one? Because these two letters, in Aramaic, the word Hein means Echad. Why does Hein mean Echad? Because these two letters in this system of Atbash do not have a zivuk. They do not have a match. You want to use a sefer? You want a sefer? We have over here a sefer. You want this stuff? These two letters do not have a zivuk. So in that system. Now, even though there is no match, here's the catch. There's a very complicated gematria system. The only reason I'm saying is because it brings out a very famous Chazal. Is because being that they have no match, they interchange with themselves. So again, if you have the letter Aleph, what do you exchange the Aleph for? For the letter Tes. Right. What do you exchange the letter Yud with? Tzadi.
Right?
Because in that second set.
Right.
What do you exchange the letter He with? So you cross borders. You go from Mexico to America. You cross borders. You go from the He is now will be interchanged with the Nun. And the Nun with the Hay. Okay, so in there are three sets, and the letters that are missing, that don't have a match, can be interchanged with each other. L'may nafkamina for this word. The Mem, what's the Mem going to be exchanged with? You go through the middle set, is it the Samach? What is the Vav interchange with? A Dalet.
Right.
What is the Nun, the two Nuns interchange with? A Hay. So in this system of the Aleph Beis, the word manon turns into, it morphs into the word sahada, testimony. Gar sahadusa. Sadusa is testimony. Sadusa. So we have Sahada. So Sahada means testimony. Testimony. Now we have a source for this famous Chazal that when you do an Avera, Rachman al Tzom, you do an Avera, that Avera will come back to haunt you in the form of testimony. It will testify in the Bez Shalmala. Mifanek minoy avdo. If you're delicate with the Yetzahara, you're mifanek. And you let him do whatever he wants. Yeah, you want me to do an Avera? Oh, you want this Avera? Okay, I'll do it for you. No problem, I'll do it for you. Then watch out. So the end will be Yiriya Manon. This Avera, this Eved, this slave who we're calling the Yetzirah that you gave into, will one day be Manon, will come and serve testimony, will testify against you that you have contributed, that you have done that, you will not be able to deny it. This is not a Medrash, it's a Gemara Mesechta Sukkot Daf Nunbeis, this complex type of Atbash system. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk. Okay, no. Before we go for the other ideas, so okay, other ideas. Pasuk of Mefanik Minor Avdo Achariso Yihya Monon. According to I don't remember who said this. I saw this in the Art Scroll. Art Scroll Mishlei. Monon can be translated as grandchildren or great-grandchildren. And we know as each generation passes, your descendants increase exponentially. You may have only 5, 10, 15 children. I don't know what you got. But when you get to the grandchildren, they multiply exponentially. And when you get to the great-grandchildren, they grow beyond. You lose track. Some people are blessed. They have the tremendous bracha. They don't even know the names of all of their great-grandchildren. They're blessed. There's so many of them. They can't. They don't know. They can't keep track of all the names. That's the truth. And once we went to Leviathan, this person had left over hundreds of grandchildren and whatever, the descendants that some like them like 200-300, and they said that this person was almost 100 years old. Their mind was sharp. They knew the name of every single grandchild and great-grandchild, and maybe even great-grandchildren. Every single one, they knew their name, they knew the full name, they knew what they were doing, they knew everything about them. That's a remarkable thing, especially at that age, to know. So here, that's what we term Manon. Manon here means your descendants. But doesn't just, it has a connotation of your multiple exponential descendants. And in that context, it means if you let the Yetzirah convince you just do this one Avera and that's it. Just do one Avera for me and I'll leave you alone. Mefanek minoy avdo. You give him a delight, a delicacy. A delicacy is not something which you have a lot of. You have only one. How many delicacies do you have a day? Only one or two, if any. Once a week, once a month, once a year. Mefanek minoy avdo. Watch out. Once you give in a little bit, you give in, then the demands will multiply exponentially. There will be thousands of sins that the Yetzirah will demand of you to do later in your life. So be careful in the beginning. Whatever you do in the beginning of your life will have ramifications, consequences later in your life. Okay, another interpretation given is, I think it's really a marriage, is Manon comes from Amnon. Amnon was one of David's children. And Amnon committed the horrible sin where he raped his half-sister, Tamar. Question, was it a blood half-sister? Were they not really related? Some learned that they weren't related at all. They didn't even share one parent. But they were still related, still because of marriages. But whatever the event was, he had relations with her against her will. It was a very great tragedy, a very great embarrassment for David. Well, how did such a thing happen? So it's like we mentioned with Avshalom, same idea. They applied more specifically to Amnon was because he did not discipline him. He let him have. The pasuk actually says, the pasuk there says that he gave him whatever because he never disciplined him. He let him have whatever he wanted. He had a free life. So therefore, the pasuk says, Mefanek, and who's speaking here? Shlomo HaMelech. So he's talking over here about his own brother. He's talking about his own brother. Okay, he puts the whole pasuk in a different perspective. Mefanek, Minor Avdo. If you want to be Mefanek, Minor Avdo, V'yachamiso Yehmano, and Yehel, be just like my brother. Now, we don't appreciate the scandal of what happened at the time. You know, if it's scandals, we just a little bit, but at the time, it must have been the most horrendous thing.
It wasn't. No one made a fuss about it.
What?
No one made
How do we know? We don't know. Not everything. But from Chazal, it appears that it was this scandalous beyond description. We think we know what a scandal is. One will start with the internet. It takes a life of its own. But they were very dignified people in those days. The dignity of which we can't even begin to fathom. And there's even a schmeck of something that was not proper. It was probably a million times worse than the schmutz today. What?
Bathsheba, until Nosson HaNavi came, he had no...
Well, did they even know? Okay, it's very big. The whole thing is very bizarre. You're right, the whole thing is very bizarre. But David's whole life he spent doing tshuva for that. This whole life, everything in Tehillim is all about David Bathsheba. He didn't understand the severity of what he did. Okay, but once already they got it. Okay, but we.
The very same thing going on today. I'm coming in with my little sighting. There was a case in California where a woman, Chabad Einikum, was molested, and she went to Rabbanim, and they made a special committee, and she finally came out publicly, and she addressed everybody what she was not held. And the Erev Pesach, the Rabbanim religious advisory group came out with a statement that they did what they could. They were limited by HIPAA and whatever, and everyone said, now you come out, you're still not warning the places the guy moved to. So, people need to wait.
Okay, but this is what the pasuk says. Mefanek, he's talking about his own brother. His own brother, watch out. You don't want the scandal. You don't want to have such a scandal in your life. And I'm telling you now, the way to avoid such scandals is give mussar to your own children. Mefanek minor avdo, v'achwiso yemen, will be like my brother Amnon. Okay, let's go to pasuk Beis. Ish af yigore modon, and ish af. An angry man, Yigar Madon, provokes machlokes. Ubal chema, and a person who's full of anger, this is synonymous. Af and chema, we once discussed this. One is an internal anger, one is an external anger. A chema, if I'm not mistaken, is the external. A chema means where you show that you're angry. You show the smoke. Smoke comes out of your nostrils. And your body, you turn red. Af.
The af is a chema.
Af and chema.
On that, it explains the
difference between af and chema.
Level of anger.
Af is, you hold it inside. You try to hide it. But oh, shalom aleichem. But on the outside, the af, come over here. Come over here. But on the af, I'm almost finishing away. The af is internal. The chema is external. Rav Pasha leads to great sin. Let's see the mitzudos. Mitzudos pasuk chav beis ish af hakasan. A person who gets angry, dakol lechar chayriv, he stirs up machlokes im habrios with his fellow man. Rav Pasha, the chema is worse. Well, I don't know what's really worse. The chema breeds to sin. And modern is machlokes. What's worse, machlokes worse or sin worse? Each one has its milus, right? Rav Peshaki be'es hakas lo yafkin b'tikun ma'asav. When a person is angry, you don't understand. It's not understood. B'tikun ma'asav chamashikosav razal hakoyes afilu shchina eino chashuv negdoi. We don't see what's happening when he gets into a state of kas, but when it goes further to the next madrega and he enters into chema, then the sins start pouring forth.
The inner anger, and
the other way around. Af is okay. That's not under. Okay, just as one Gemara Masechet Nedarim. The Gemara Masechet Nedarim uses this as part of a series in discussing a kasan. We know that a person who gets angry, a person who does not have the ability to control his anger, obviously has very big problems. And the Gemara there elaborates all of the chesroinos of a Baal Kas. And the Gemara first, the Gemara in the Dodim Daf Chav Beis. And the first example the Gemara gives is the Shechina, which Rashi actually quoted, which the Mitzudos quoted. The Mitzudos quoted is that Afilu Shechina Eina Chashuva Kinegdai. Okay, that the Shechina is nothing. The person has does not feel constrained by the Shechina.
No restraints.
No restraints. And the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Tehillim, Rosh and Goy Va'apa. The Gemara quotes pasukim for each of the examples. Then the Gemara gives another example that he forgets his learning and it becomes a tipish, ki kas, b'chei kesilim yenuach. And then the Gemara, in the finale of the Gemara, The last thing the Gemara says is one other thing you should know about a Baal Kasa. You can be certain that on the scales in Rosh Hashanah, there are more sins than mitzvahs. And how do you know that? The Gemara quotes this pasuk here in Mishlei, Ubal Chema is Rav Pasha. We translate it simply that he has a lot. He does a lot of averos, but the Gemara says no, it means he has more averos than mitzvahs. And on the scale of judgment, that's not a good place to be, to have more sins. So this is part of a series this is the last in the series of Mamori Chazal and Gemara Nedarim that describes all of the chesroinos, the dangers of being a Baal Kasan. All right, with that we will conclude.